Hey gang, if you're in Austin, you're looking for some live music in the live music capital of the world, why not check out 2014-2015 Austin Chronicle Music Poll winner for best club to play, best sounding venue, and best venue. Best venue several years running now. Strange Brew Lounge Side. Simply go to strangebrewloungeside.com, look in their calendar, and find out what's going on. From Joe Ely to Christopher Cross to Steve Poltz to the Glenn Miller Orchestra, which will be there June 29th. They're all playing at Strange Brew. Go to Strange Brew Lounge Side for yourself and see what Austin's best venue has to offer. strangebrewloungeside.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Johnny.
All right. Welcome to the show. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. I hope that you are all doing well out there. I'm doing well. I have a great show for you guys today. I have New Orleans rock and roll trio, Bantam Foxes. They were here a couple of weeks ago playing at the Black Heart with Lowen, who is doing Saturday residency. And I want to thank Sarah Hauser from Lowen for hooking me up with this band, because I heard them on the internet and I asked her to hook me up with them and she did it. So these guys were in town. They came over the day after their show. We had some breakfast tacos before they hit the road back to New Orleans, and we had a great conversation. They're a great band and they're a great bunch of dudes. We had a great hang that day, and I hope that we get to do it again. I really enjoyed them. I love their music. They have a lot of music out there. You can find it all at bantamfoxes.com, okay? They have a SoundCloud, a Bandcamp, iTunes, Spotify, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the whole jam. Just go to bantamfoxes.com, find out where they're going to be, because they are going on tour in July. Of the Midwest and East Coast, and they're doing a lot of shows, including July 16th in St. Louis, July 17th in Chicago, July 20th in New York City, and they're doing a lot of dates in between. So get out there and check out what's going on at bantamfoxes.com. That conversation is coming up. Let me tell you what's going on with me. I had a great weekend, a very sweaty weekend. I played two shows outside Thursday and Friday with Skyrocket. Thursday was here at Steiner Ranch, outside sweating it up because it had rained that day and it was like extra humid. And then we went down to Corpus Christi on Friday and played this party, and we played outside sweaty as fuck, man. I had boob sweat. Terrible. Great shows, but the weather, so hot, so humid. And then Saturday I came back early to go out to the Solstice Festival, which was fantastic. It was also very hot though, and unfortunately it got rained out into the evening. Started raining pretty bad at about 5 or so. It cut out. I got to see a little bit of jazz. I got to see all of Jazz Mills and Corey Baum. And Corey Baum's coming on the show. Get out there and check that guy out. He's amazing. Money Chicha, who is fantastic. And Adrian Casala said he's going to come back and do another show with us. I got to talk to a lot of people. Got to hang out with my friend Lori Gallardo. A lot of people that have been on the show. Anyway, the festival was fantastic. Got to see a Dead Love Club. And anyway, great bands, great festival, great times. And I can't wait till next year. So everyone keep your eye out for the Solstice Festival. Speaking of shows, I got an email a couple of weeks ago from a young lady named Suzanne Monroe, who has a new album coming out called Face to the Mirror. She has a release show on Tuesday, June 30th at the Ground Floor Theater here in Austin that includes other bands and dancers and the whole thing. We had a great conversation, and also I just want to tell you real quick, I want to apologize to her for saying her album name Face the Mirror as opposed to Face to the Mirror. Anyway, she does have this show coming up on Tuesday, June 30th, and part of the proceeds go to her friend Missy Brown, who has cystic fibrosis and needs a lung transplant. So let's talk to Suzanne Monroe. Suzanne Monroe and her new album, Face the Mirror. That's your first album, huh?
It's my first
your debut album. And they're already making you face the mirror? They can't let you wait till album 4 to have to do that?
That's right. I gotta face all my demons right now.
I was reading your bio. It looks like you're working out some stuff in this album.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of past pain that's coming to the surface.
That's the best.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the best. You don't, I mean, did you write songs before that just never came out?
Or? No, I mean, like Four Tons and Friend are old songs that I wrote as a teenager. And then I went through a huge writer's block when my father passed away when I was 18.
Right.
So it took me a while to kind of like work through a lot of that, pain. Like it just, I kind of went into my cocoon and
yeah.
didn't really work through it until later on when I actually found a little peace, and which was kind of ironic, finding the space to really work with that pain and finding the space to be creative again. And I did The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, which is a workbook right. that yeah. helped me like get in touch and release creative blocks. And I did a 30-day songwriting challenge. So there's 5 new songs on there. That
Fantastic.
From that challenge.
So, yeah. So did you complete the challenge?
I did.
Cause I've started that 30-day challenge. I've gotten to like day 9 and been like, fuck this shit.
I was tempted. I mean, sometimes I wouldn't write in one day and I'd just double up on the next day. I'd be like, all right, I got to make up for the days I missed.
See, that's where I philosophically I have, I can't lie to myself. I'll be like, yeah, I wrote 2 songs on Wednesday, but I did not write one on Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's the guilt.
Yeah. The guilt. It's all the guilt. So you are having a release. It is June 30th, which is a Tuesday, which
yes.
is the day that albums come out. But you are doing something special. You are doing a release at the Ground Floor Theater, which is at 979 Springdale Road in Austin, Texas, if you are here. Tickets are $15 in advance, $20 at the door. And who all is on the bill this night? What are you bringing to the people that's different than like a regular show at a bar?
So we're having, we're having several acts. I'm having Bare Bones Orchestra uh-huh. playing, John Orr. Then I'm having Breathless LaBelle, who's a burlesque dancer.
Oh, and, fantastic.
And then we're having dancers for 4 Tons come up. And Yelena Canacci is a choreographer for that, too.
So you've incorporated some choreography and dance into your show.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
have you done a lot of shows? Have you ever done a theater show? Is this your first
this
one?
This is my first theater show.
This is a big deal.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And people can find the tickets they want to go to SuzanneMonroeMusic.com. They can also find your music there.
Yes.
But they can also find a link to get the tickets
yes.
for the show, which are cheaper before than at
exactly.
the show. Save yourself $5. Use that for an Uber ride. Are you, is there like, I've never been to this theater. How would, what's the
it's,
score?
It's brand new. They open, Lisa Sheps opened it up in January, I believe. And, it's in East Austin, off of Airport Boulevard.
Right.
It's just a really cool, like, industrial kind of space.
It's cool, that Blue Genie area? Is that where it is?
Is that right? I don't know. I'm kind of directionally challenged when
okay.
it comes to...
Where are you from?
I'm from Rochester, New York. Originally.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What made you move to Austin? What brought you to Austin from Rochester? What does that...
I wanted to be in a more like diverse, creative place. Like Rochester's great, but it's kind of like got the small town vibe and there's not like a whole lot of diversity happening there. And, I just wanted to go into a bigger city
sure.
too and just be kind of more challenged. Cause you get in your comfort zone in your hometown. You're just like, oh yeah, I can just keep playing these same chords and writing these same lyrics and people will be okay. And
yeah.
so here I was more creatively challenged.
Yeah, this is a good, I did that. I moved from Houston to here to try and get more creatively challenged. So this show that you have at the Ground Floor Theater on Tuesday, June 30th, which is your record release for your album, Face the Mirror. There are 10% of the proceeds are going towards Missy Brown's lung transplant.
Yes.
And you can learn more about that at missybreathes.com. Where did you, how did you hear about Missy? Because I ended up going to the link and looking at it from, you know, like when I was going through this stuff. And I was really moved by her story.
Yeah.
She suffers from cystic fibrosis and she, like she's running out of air.
Yeah. And
how did you hear about her?
So I went to high school with her in Rochester,
New
York.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, and she was a good friend when I was there at school at Walls, and I knew that she had cystic fibrosis, and I remember her being in and out of the hospitals all the time and just really feeling for her, you know, and just wishing I could help at some point, and now she's at the point where she's just, it's serious, and she needs to get a lung transplant soon, so.
Yeah. So seriously, check it out. Go to Suzanne Monroe Music. Congratulations on this album.
Thank you.
Where did you do it? Here in Austin?
Yeah, the Recording Conservatory of Austin.
Oh, what is that?
It's a school, actually, as well as a recording studio.
Oh, cool.
And my friend Steve Carlos Kirk recommended me to go over there, and Jet Jaguar connected with him. He's the engineer and producer.
That's a guy's name?
Jet Jaguar, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's his producer name.
That's a great name,
producer
man.
Hat name.
Yeah, yeah. So, great album. Congratulations on getting getting the first one out. I know
Thank you. That's
the tough one.
Yeah.
And congratulations on doing something special at a theater. I'm always getting behind something like that. Having the dancing and all that stuff, and having all the different acts and a burlesque dance, and like bringing a show to it. You know, you're in the entertainment industry.
Right.
Why stand there with a guitar moping?
Exactly.
When you got to entertain people. I'm not that that's not entertaining, but in this day and age, you got to do something.
You got to do something a little bit different.
Yeah. And you won't live very long if you light yourself on fire.
Right.
Is there anything I should let people know outside of Suzanne Monroe Music? You can find the music there. And the record comes out on the 30th.
Yes.
And it'll be available online.
And ticket price includes a copy of the album.
Oh,
too, so.
I didn't see. It does. Sorry. I don't read very well. But yes, it does. So, man, definitely go to the show. You'll get an album and you'll see the show, see an interesting show on a Tuesday. And it's early, so you won't be there until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So you can still get to work and school the next day.
Yeah, a lot of shows. Yeah. Is there anything I'm missing?
For tickets, just go to, you can also go to the ticket link, which is facetothemirror.eventbrite.com, but they can also find that on my website too.
Face to the mirror. Did I say face the mirror earlier?
I think so.
Why didn't you correct me?
I kind of mumble, so I figured maybe you might be.
Maybe I mumble too.
Maybe.
Well, thank you for coming, Suzanne.
Thank you for having me, and good luck
with the show.
Thank you so much.
You guys get out there Tuesday, June 30th at the Ground Floor Theater. All right, Suzanne Monroe, her album Face to the Mirror. All right, get that right, Johnny. Tuesday, June 30th, Ground Floor Theater. Get out there and support her. All right, let's get to my conversation with this fantastic New Orleans rock and roll trio called Bantam Foxes, which I found on the internet going through my friend Lowen's calendar. They're playing every Saturday here in Austin, by the way, at midnight at the Black Heart. And they have great bands playing with them, including my guest, Bantam Foxes, who stopped by the day after their last show. We had breakfast tacos before they headed back to New Orleans, and we had a great conversation. Get out there and check them out at bantamfoxes.com. They will be on tour in July. So get out there and check it out starting July 16th in St. Louis with Ringo Deathstar, our friends, who will hopefully be coming in to the show pretty soon again. All right? Meet my friends, Jared Marcel, and twins, Colin and Sam McCabe. From New Orleans, Louisiana, Bantam Foxes. Let's get down.
Okay,
different times. Well,
Jared,
you know, we
were there at the same time, but Jared graduated in 2009?
2008.
Yep.
Okay, so I gotta realize how to turn this up. Where'd you go to school for, Jared?
Music industry studies, just like Colin did.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But there was like a
school
class. What is that? What is music industry like? It's not a music degree.
Well, it kind of is.
It's like a music business?
A little bit. It's a music business degree, but the way Loyola does it is you're still required to do, like, on performance credits and that sort of thing. So,
okay.
Like, my freshman year, I played violin in the orchestra, and I was awful. I was last chair. I was 24 out of 24 for the entire year. I didn't improve at all. I had to take violin lessons. It was terrible.
Forgot about that.
It was bad.
Was
I haven't played violin. I started on violin when I was a kid, but I haven't played much in a long time. And doing that was a mistake.
I don't know why you didn't just do like guitar ensemble.
I should have.
I just had to take basic theory classes. I mean, it was like the kind of thing where, you know, you were going to have kids in there that literally just wanted to be like music managers or, you know, work for record labels and stuff. And they just wanted to get your vocabulary up enough that you could talk to professional musicians.
Right. Yeah.
So there was like that kind of class where you're literally dealing with people who are just like, you know, I don't know what overtones are. And then,
right.
Then you've got, like one other class that you could take that, so I guess you had to take like what, 2 or 3 credits or whatever of like just getting up to par with like just basic cursory knowledge of music. So yeah, and then you had, you know, I got to take an ensemble where we did like Beatles covers.
Yeah, they have this class called Contemporary Ensemble, which is basically for all the kids who can't be in orchestra and probably aren't really in a situation to be in like a full guitar ensemble or something like that. Kids that not necessarily can read music particularly well, but can play. A lot of times they get kids that like DJ to like come in there, and then you get like Linkin Park esque stuff because they got like wikis in the middle of the song. But it's that was the thing about the program, was like it was a lot less like performance based and like theory based. It was really more stuff like, you know, you were learning how to use the studio, and like everybody had to take tech credits too. So I mean, I had to take 5 classes over the course of the 4 years just that were solely in the studios at Loyola. And then, you know, stuff like management, marketing, that kind of stuff, but all very, very focused on the industry.
Yeah, the one more strategy based.
Yeah. Do you feel like you got something out of it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, especially, I mean, we always kind of joke, the whole thing about that major is that it feels a little bit like a bullshit major if you're in a band, or if you're not in a band, I'm sorry, because if you're in a band, it's basically like, hey, this is how to be an independent band 101, like, for 4 years. They teach you everything you need to know about, like, publishing and licensing and how your copyrights work, like, how you can, like, expand your revenue streams and stuff like that from your copyrights, from everything that you own,
wow,
that kind of stuff. So, I mean, Jared and I having that program, you know, I mean, we've played 200 shows in the last 3 years and had pretty mild success. We did a radio campaign with our first record that was in the top 200 on CMJ. And that kind of stuff. But without that program, I probably would never have done something like that. Like, most people think radio doesn't matter anymore, and it does, but not commercial radio. I wouldn't really have considered that much without like this kind of training. Also, just the people that teach there. This one professor, his name's Billy O'Connell. He's a pretty good mentor of mine. I see him pretty regularly still. But he, like, he started Warner Sire. He managed the Throwing Muses for forever. Wow. This, because that was, well, now his ex-wife. But they,
one's his ex-wife?
Kristen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But they, I don't know if I should have said that, actually. because I don't know how many people know about that. He knows everything. Like, everything there is to know, and he knows everyone. And he's just a great resource to have in that program. The guy who started it, John Snyder, he has like 6 Grammys.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
When I was there, the Billy equivalent was George Howard. And, you know, Billy and George Howard work together. They basically have like all the same values and the same techniques,
right,
and everything,
right,
like that. So
they started Cash Music together, right?
Yeah. So yeah, the two of them have a really close relationship, and so, you know, I was a student under George Howard, and when I left, there was like a little like year and a half, 2 year gap, and then they started, and then so when he got to be really good friends with Billy, and I had sort of had like all of George Howard's teachings ingrained into me, like our first meeting as a band, I was like, well, George Howard says like blah 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 blah, and so I want to make sure that like the model for this band goes in this direction. And he's like,
"Well, that's crazy. Billy O'Connell says all that same stuff." Yeah. And it's like, well, that's probably because they started a bunch of businesses together, and like, you know, it's probably like two or three businesses that they each had their hand in together.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that's the main thing that most people should get out of the program is, you know, there's a tendency nowadays when you get a particular degree and then a couple of years later people are like, "Well, do you have a job in that industry?"
Right,
and if
right.
not, then, you know, then the degree wasn't a success. But
right.
the thing with the music industry studies program, I feel like we're like a commercial for Loyola.
I know, right?
But it's an entrepreneurial degree, and so
they want you to start your own stuff. And
yeah, and so for you to like go out and a couple of years after graduation, like have a job at a record company, to have a desk job or whatever.
Like that's a success for you, but it's not totally what the label was or what the major was intended for.
Yeah, it's intended for you to like go out and
be a self-starter.
Yeah, to like start your own company. And so like their idea of like a successful product of the program is somebody that goes out and starts their own business or like has to struggle for a little while and then is able to overcome.
Right.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of struggle.
This episode of How Did I Get Here is brought to you by Loyola University Music Industry Program.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to reach out to them and make sure that they throw me some money for this great advertisement. So did you guys started the band while you were there?
Well, Colin and I were still there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I had been graduated for like 2 or 3 years at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Can I ask you a question, Jared?
Yeah.
I know that like in a band when there's brothers,
mm-hmm.
there's a certain way, but like twins have even like a weirder
dynamic.
How odd man out does it get? Like, is there some shit like they're talking sometimes you're just like, I don't even know what they mean?
Oh no, I get right in the middle of it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. No, that's the thing is
he's real good at that.
No, I'm
so you're like a third twin.
No, not like that. No, I'm the mediator.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, and I embrace that role even if they don't want me to.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, I mean, he calls us the Gallagher Brothers, which is kind of both the
company. Oh, no. I don't call you the Gallagher Brothers. I warn you about the Gallagher Brothers.
Right.
Like, now,
right. That's,
do
that's
you
want
to be the Gallagher Brothers right now? We all know what happened to Oasis. They are famous, but they're also not functional.
They're not together.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
They don't talk anymore.
They could
be
making a lot more money and living a lot happier of lives if they had just been more functional
there,
as a
there
family.
There is something worth seeing if you can find it on YouTube. Is they did an unplugged show, and Liam decided he didn't want to sing.
I've seen this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so instead of being cool and just not singing, what he did was he sat in the audience while his poor brother tried to carry the show and just screamed, "You suck," the whole time.
I remember that.
And shit.
Oh, that's good.
You guys have to watch that.
That sounds great.
That's the thing. The two of them would never do anything like that.
Yeah, not that drastic.
No.
Now, am I going to cuss at him from the other side of the stage? You bet your ass. But no, I mean it's not something like that. We get in arguments, but I mean that's a brother thing. It's not something that really totally affects the band. It's most of the fights that we get into don't have anything to do with the band. It's just like, hey dude, you're an ass.
Yeah,
like,
it's just well,
I mean there's I mean I think pretty much the only placid brother duo out there was the Allman Brothers.
Maybe the Bee Gees.
I mean, it's like this.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be friends with Robin's kid. He lives here in town.
Oh, yeah?
And no.
Oh,
well,
really?
Those guys broke up and everything. Yeah. One guy thought he was too famous for the rest of the band. And,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And then
instead
of like talking to each other, they just made fun of each other in the press.
I kind of forget about that, you know? Because that was like.
It's weird. Do you guys know? Are you guys Red Cross fans? Because your music is really cool. You guys are a great band, by the way. This whole thing just kind of promoting Loyola University.
You know,
but you guys are a great band, and I came across
you
by just Lowen was on the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah was on, and I looked at her. I looked at shows she was playing, and I just saw the amount of bands that were doing those shows at why am I drawing a blank?
Blackheart.
At the Blackheart right now. Mm-hmm. And I just started, like, looking them up. And I looked you guys up, and I really loved your music.
Thanks,
I
man.
It was really good. Appreciate and had, like, a lot of energy.
Oh, awesome.
And it's really organic and rock and roll.
Thanks.
Appreciate that.
That's what like we're going you mentioned for. Earlier, what was the band that you were saying that I'm drawing a blank? Linkin Park.
Linkin Park.
You
yeah,
guys, you guys wiki don't wiki. Have. You guys don't have. I mean, you guys are young, but you guys seem like you stopped listening to music in like 1983 or something.
Well, I appreciate you know what I mean? That.
Yeah, well, you know,
I mean that in the best way
possible. No, and I appreciate that. Well, I know what you're getting at.
Part of that, I think, Sam and I are 23. We were born in 1992, and it's like a, I mean, and, you know, we didn't really start listening to music, like, as a thing where, like, you go out and search for it until the early 2000s, and I remember, like, the first record I really got into was the White Stripes' Elephant. And,
right.
And that's the thing, is, like, man, I just never really liked all that post-grunge stuff that so many people that I know that were, you know, like, they're the same
like
age
the
as
jump,
me.
Jump.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, you know, things like Trapped guitars. And stuff
oh, yeah.
like that. Like,
yeah, dude. Like Jared has a Limp Bizkit CD.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I wound up with it.
Well, he moved into our apartment a couple weeks ago, and we were going through his stuff when he moved in, and I had, like, I had woken up and had somebody had posted something about Limp Bizkit, and I was like, you know what? Let's see how bad Limp Bizkit really is. And
let's
so
see how they aged.
So Colin calls me out like
I'm
later.
I'm still asleep, and he's like,
I'm sitting in the other room like blasting clips of Limp Bizkit to see like, is this really that bad? I'm trying to like listen to it and then figure it out because like, you know, I hate Limp Bizkit.
Naturally, I just yell across the other room. What the fuck are you doing?
but yeah, and so that was Saturday, and then we had moved Jared in, and that evening we were going through his stuff, and we found a Limp Bizkit CD and all this stuff.
Yeah, I found it in my room by, like, you know, trying to get myself not living out of boxes anymore,
right,
and
right,
I came
right.
across the CD, and I was like, hey, Sam, hey, Sam, and then I just, like, slid the CD under his door, you know,
and then
like
twice that
label
day.
Side up
because
like, I really
God,
didn't
because
care.
I was just thinking,
yeah,
it's just one of those days.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, then we're you know. Well, I guess it will be nice if I could touch your money. Yeah, you know.
I forgot that was what made them famous.
Oh yeah, that
was
Wham cover.
They,
yeah. No, that was the thing, is like, somehow,
cute.
In one day, I got to listen to Limp Bizkit really loudly in my apartment twice.
Like, wow.
It was one hell of a day.
Some might call that a rap rock solstice.
Yeah, dude.
It was
pretty
incredible.
It's okay.
Yeah, dude.
It's a rap rock solstice.
It's probably more than anyone else's.
I was going to say an epiphany, but it's not like you learned anything.
No. Yeah. Well, I did
no,
learn something.
You did
I learned
celebrate something.
Yeah. I did learn something, actually. I learned that Limp Bizkit actually does really suck.
It do.
Hey, let's not.
I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into this too much.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's cool.
When
no,
I was in this band from that poster behind you, our record was about to come out, and I did a press show.
Yeah.
It's such a long story, but I wore a shirt that said "Fuck you, Fred Durst" on it.
Yes,
which
yes.
I still have.
I love
now it
that.
Just says "Fuck you, Ed Red Durst."
Nice.
And
well,
and,
what happened to the S?
They fell off over time. It was the year 2000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But he caught wind of it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
it's awesome.
And he he was like, "Who the fuck is that guy?" Like the worst.
Yeah. Well,
that's exactly what he said.
Well, you know what was funny was a couple months ago when that Robert Durst guy got arrested in New Orleans, everybody was like, and I had people that were like I'm friends with online or whatever, and they were like, yeah, dude, Fred Durst just got arrested in New Orleans. I'm like,
yeah.
No, it is not the same guy.
Oh, but wouldn't it
be? Patton Oswalt.
Do you think it would be nice, though, if they did?
Patton Oswalt tweeted that now Fred Durst isn't the only person out there making the Durst name bad.
Oh, yeah.
He did it in a funny way. Sorry, that was terrible.
Yeah, right.
So what did you guys, you got into the White Stripes and stuff. Were you getting into music then in the early 2000s? What were you guys, like six?
No,
I was 10 or 11. Like, I was 11. My dad, you know, discovered LimeWire.
Yeah, it was great.
And he was just, my dad was just
How old is your dad, my age?
My dad's 50.
Okay.
51 now.
Yeah.
But he, He was just finding a bunch of stuff, and he was showing, because he really also was not fond of what was happening on the radio in the early 2000s, and so he would just find stuff, and he would give it to me and Sam. Basically, like,
you know, because in the 90s, my parents would have us listening to you know, like, a lot of, like, Gen X stuff, you know? I mean, typically Nirvana and stuff like that, but a lot of things that came out of that, Beck. Like, one of the greatest stories ever is my dad used to have this 71 Beetle that had a modified stereo with a CD player in it. Only had one speaker. The only CD that was ever in that car, was Odelay. And we listened to that constantly.
Yeah, so those guys, they memorized the...
I know every word of that.
Left hand stereo field of Odelay.
No, it was mono. It was mono.
Oh,
it was
all right.
Yeah.
But
it was funny.
Well, what a great record to be the only one that you have to listen to. I mean, if you really have. Because there was some great stuff that came
out. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was playing in the 90s, and when I look back, I'm in this band that's a cover band called Skyrocket. And we played this Yahoo party during South by Southwest, and they were like, oh, can you find some 90s? Things like in the 70s, you can do like ABBA, you know, you can do like rock stuff, you can, you know, Billy Squire, like everything you can do. But you get to the 90s, and what kind of party are you starting with fucking Alice in Chains? You know what I mean? Like,
It's a lot of one hit wonders that have
and drudgy,
good.
Yeah. It was weird. Yeah. We were finding weird stuff like
Space Hog.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what? We didn't do Space Hog, but that was one of my bands.
A buddy of ours tells us that we sound like Space Hog. And I don't
know.
You
remind me of Space Hog.
Really?
you just remind me of music I like, and I think that's good.
I appreciate it. Oh, I'm glad. Thank you.
You guys, I mean, you do Cheap Trick and stuff like that. I mean,
you know, we're doing this residency in New Orleans in August, and our thing is that we're going to do we don't usually do a lot of covers, but we're going to do a cover for each one. I think the plan right now is we're going to do a classic rock cover at each one of them.
Okay.
We just did, a few weeks ago, we played all of AC/DC's Back in Black.
The whole album?
The whole album, front to back.
Front to back.
At this club in New Orleans called Casa Gossa.
We had a buddy of ours play Angus's parts, because I'm not that good at guitar.
But it was, it was a lot of work, but it was one of those things, about a year ago, I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden we just, all three realized, it was like, dude, we love AC/DC.
Well, no, like about this time last year, I had lost my copy of Back in Black, and I was like out with Cherie
Hold on, but I'm sorry. You live in the world where there's like Spotify, like
right?
Back in Black's not on Spotify.
Oh, it's not
on Spotify.
Sorry.
Anyway, but I had lost my copy of it, and so I was out with my fiance Cherie, and I picked up Purple Rain on vinyl.
Oh yeah.
And then Back in Black like was on the rack like right next to it and on in just a CD, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna grab that too. And so
you just looked over it and you were like, come to Butthead.
And so I grabbed that, and then Back in Black was, until about a month ago, like the only CD we had in our car.
You know, when we finally pulled it out was when we were finished with that show, and I'm like, I can't listen to this record for a while.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
But like for the residency we're doing in New Orleans in August, like we're talking about these like classic rock covers we can do, and I want to do Cheap Trick, I want to do Kiss, but we got to figure out what we're gonna do here for it. I really want to play Detroit Rock City. But we got to figure out if we can pull it off, that bass line.
It's just such a hokey song.
But like, it's awesome!
Yeah,
that's good
they
stuff.
They die on their way to have a really good time.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
We were just talking about that on the way here.
No, we were walking
like,
out
of the first two house. Verses of that song are like, you know... Like,
yeah, going to a rock show, going to have a good time.
Yeah, and then, everybody's going to get up and...
And then all of a sudden the last verse is like... And I just laugh because I know I'm going to die. I'm like, whoa, hold on just a second.
Yeah, we were just talking about, like, if we start covering this song, like, when we get to the third verse, we're going to have to, like, pause for the cause and just be like, does anybody notice this song gets really dark all of a sudden? And then, like, the rest of the song's just going to be like... Get up, everybody, come move your feet. Oh,
you gotta lose your mind, Detroit.
Ooh, so uncomfortable.
What a sad ending. Those guys were going to have such a good time. But, you know, once again, you should not smoke weed, drink, and drive.
That's true.
That was probably their main.
First, I drink.
They would have taken that turn a little slower.
Right, maybe a little
sober.
Bit. Yeah, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's
this
like,
public service announcement has been brought to you by Ace Frehley.
Yeah. Well, this all got...
He's on his knees right behind you on my
speaker. All got brought up, though, because Sam's like, yeah, you know, that song, it's like, oh, you know, like, suddenly there's like a truck coming straight at him, and I go, Sam, it's not that the truck is in the wrong lane here.
It's that
he's drinking
they're
and smoking.
They're in the wrong lane.
That's this hilarious.
Is a problem. I don't know. I was thinking about it for a second, and I was like, oh, you know, I didn't realize it, like, until we were listening to it yesterday on the drive here. And then I thought about that and brought that up, and then Khan's like, nah, dude, it's not like that. Yeah, did you hear the line earlier where it's like, first I drink, then I smoke?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's funny.
So, it was great.
Detroit Rock City, man.
You good stuff.
Yeah. So, let me ask you this. Do you guys have a studio that you record out of and you work out of?
Yes.
Because
not our own studio. Okay. Jared used to be the studio manager at this place in New Orleans called The Music Shed.
And he got that job probably from the music program.
I did.
He damn right he did.
Yeah.
But Jared used to be the studio manager over there, and he still was for the first like 8-9 months of us being a band. When we got back from our first tour, they laid him off.
Welcome home.
Hey, listen, we try to employ musicians here in the music business, but you're doing too much.
That's pretty much what happened.
Happened was we Sam and I were living in St. Louis at that point in time, and we had just for the summer, and we had come down to do like this 10-day tour, and we get the last day is in St. Louis, so Jared drives back down the next day, and he goes into work the next day. I remember he's been gone for like 24 hours, and he gives me a call that Monday. He's like, hey, guess you just got laid off. I'm like, are you kidding me? But anyway, so we work out of that studio when we record. Our engineer, Ben, is amazing.
And you guys produce with him.
Yes.
And you guys, okay, so the writing process is the three of you guys make the music, and then whoever's going to sing the song writes the words. Pretty much.
Yeah. That's the way that it's been. We're kind of changing that around a little bit so we've got like a bunch of stuff recorded right now. It's sort of queued up. So even though that just came out,
right,
we still have stuff that's already recorded that is going to be released later.
Yeah, in October.
So we kind of have this like this little sausage factory going as far as like songs and recordings go. Yeah.
The plan is every 6 months we're going to put out a 4-song EP until
until that's not sustainable.
Now here's something I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. It's obviously it keeps you creative, so you're always also going in the studio. You're not just going in once every year and a half,
right?
Putting out this thing. Do you find that in a business sense that at this point in the world that we live in and how fast things are moving and how disposable content, for lack of a better word, because when we like I revere the songs that I write and I record on these machines far more than just the goofy conversations I have with people. I think they're both great, but they're both essentially the same thing now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're just content. They're a thing. Right. And you try to promote it, and you have a finite amount of time for people to see it going up this wall, you know, real fast. Is that one of the reasons to
put
out more releases? Because I noticed you guys also release singles, too. And
for a long time, we were only releasing singles.
Year that we were a band, we were pretty much, like, every 6 to 8 weeks, we would go record, like, 8 or 9 songs, and then every 6 weeks for the next like year, we just put all those out.
That's brilliant.
It was a good idea to start out with.
Problem here, no one will write when you only put out one song.
That's the truth.
No one will do it. And so then we're like,
I mean, this is a great conversation. This is something that people don't talk about. I have these conversations with people off the microphone, so please go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's great because, you know, and when we were starting as a band, it actually was brilliant because it led it so that we didn't just put out an EP and then start playing shows and then everybody forgets about us. It was almost like every time we had a show, we had a new song coming out, which did help about getting our shows getting written about, but our music still wasn't really getting written about.
But here's the thing, is that when you're a new band like that, writers aren't going to write about you anyway because they don't want to take a risk on something that might be gone in 3 months. Yeah. Anyway, you know, when you're a new band, things are so volatile that writers don't really want to write about something that hasn't stood the test of time yet and hasn't generated any buzz. So for us to release singles at the onset and to do, what was it, like 6, 8, 10 of them, however many it was, it was good enough to get the buzz started that when we then switched completely from singles to 4 songs at a time, and then So we'll go in and we'll record 8 to 12 songs at a time, and then we'll divide those then into, like, all right, well, let's group the ones that fit together. So instead of having to figure out how 12 songs are going to flow, we just take 4 songs that fit together, and that goes out. And then 6 months later, the next one goes out. And then before the last one even comes out, we've got the next couple recorded and, like, queued up and ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and people are much more willing to write about that because you're actually making a splash at that point. You've proven the test of time. And
it also, I mean, Give Us a Raise is 15 minutes long. Like, you're not, it's not a total time commitment to listen to the thing. It's like you put it on, it's got 4 fast songs on it, and they come out. It's like, okay, like, it's not like somebody has to sit down and be like, all right, if I'm gonna listen to this record and write about it, I gotta listen to the whole thing, it's gonna take me 45 minutes. It's like, I can pop this in and be done and get good thoughts about it pretty quickly. And
I think it's kind of a bummer that people aren't willing to put 45 minutes down for music anymore.
Well,
you know, or, well, for anything really. I mean, the attention span is just absurd these days, man. It's like, good God.
But that's why we're doing it this way, and that's why we started with the singles, was because it would keep people at least kind of paying attention, at least knowing that we're still, like, doing things. We did put out, like, a full record, a 10-song album, about a year and a half ago at this point. We didn't execute that well. Had we executed it better, like, it sounds great, and it was a cool record, but...
It was a fun record to make, too.
We rushed the hell out of it, and we were just anxious to get it out.
Triumph.
Yes, we were really anxious to get Triumph out, and just, or I guess I was just really anxious to get Triumph out. I take the heat for this, is that I wanted it out, and I rushed the hell out of it, out of the process.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good record.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm not going to disagree, I'm just going to say...
Promotional lead-up that went into it.
Was bad.
So they were on the swimming and diving teams in high school, and so the analogy that I use with them is that when you're releasing EPs one at a time, maybe like 2 per year, and you're just committed to the idea of constant content and persistent production, that releasing music then becomes more like swimming. If you have a difficult moment, then you have time then to make up for it. You can paddle harder, you can kick harder, you can figure out a way to, like, turn around at the next wall to, like, kick off of it and make up time. Whereas, like, putting out a full, like, 10 to 12 song record is more like diving. Like, you get one shot, and if you screw up as soon as you jump off that platform, so you're making a big splash in the bad kind of way.
Yeah. And, like, we got a couple of, like, this Rag in New Orleans gave us a really awesome review of it, and it was,
But that's all we got.
But that's almost all we got. There was, like, a couple of other, you know, little quotes about it, but it was just one of those things, like...
Did you hire a publicist?
No,
can't afford a
publicist. I don't have that kind of money.
I wish.
That's the thing.
We might.
My minor at Loyola was marketing and PR, so I have the skills and the knowledge to do it, but we just got an agent, but we didn't used to have an agent, and because we didn't used to have an agent... I didn't have time to do these things. None of us did because we were
always booking shows.
So,
but now you have a guy booking your shows?
Yeah. So that's helpful.
I mean, he's booking our tours. We're still handling a lot of our weekend stuff like what we did this weekend coming to Austin. But that's just because we have friends to hit up and they'll help us. It's just one of those things, like, now I have time to do it. And so, unfortunately, I didn't really have time to do it for Give Us a Raise, and we got some stuff about it. We've gotten some really cool shows out of this EP, actually, which has been great. But honestly, we didn't get a lot of press out of it. I'm working a lot harder on the way I'm going to approach the PR for the next one's coming out in October. So you know, and then as soon as that's done, another one coming out in April next year. So.
Yeah.
That's just how it's gonna be.
I wish there was a way that people could not be offended by the idea of going to going through a program. Not to bring up Loyola again, but it seems like it really gave you guys a good basis and a good I've done a lot of these shows, and I have talks with people, and I mean, some people just don't know how it works.
I mean, I don't see why anybody would be offended.
There's people literally here
by...
that are like, "Yeah, and I'm going to make this demo," and then maybe a label will sign us and we'll do this stuff. And I'm like, what do you think?
No, nobody's
going to
help you.
If you don't have any following at all.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Well, like, you got to go out and do, like, they don't do that anymore. It doesn't work like that.
No, I think the misconception there is that people are willing to help you if there's nothing in it for them at the onset. You know, it's like people want to help people that help themselves.
Yeah.
You know, people want to people want to put their backing behind things that already have momentum, because when you've already got momentum, it doesn't take that much harder of a push to get you going that much faster.
Yeah.
It's said in like every commencement speech ever, but the old maxim is true. You know, the people that continue to educate themselves after they leave school, there's a reason that it's called commencement. Yeah. And, you know, I read like a book or two every month, and even if it's not specifically on business stuff, and they get a little annoyed with me because sometimes it seems a little preachy or condescending or whatever, but I'm like constantly oh no, but the thing is like I'm completely aware of the fact that they sometimes find it preachy and condescending, but I'm constantly reading and adding to the useful knowledge that we can feed into this whole enterprise. And so like right now,
I wish there was more people like that.
Well, the one thing that we really recognize is that there's only so much that luck is really going to pull off. And that's why we're out on the road so much. That's why we constantly have, you know, new music in the pipeline, you know, that sort of stuff. It's because if you want somebody to do something for you, you know, if you want somebody to pick you up, or, you know, like I said, just getting an agent. Like, we've been a band for almost 4 years, and we just got an agent. We've played almost 200 shows.
But some people that don't have any shows think they need an agent. What the fuck is that agent going to do? Help you go get some gig that pays $20? Like, what's in it for that guy?
I used to work for an agent, and it was that way. We would have people that would hit us up, and we would be booking... We'd be trying to get them shows, and people were just like, who the fuck is this? Like,
10% of a $50 payout is $5, which...
what's the point, man? You know?
And it's also, like, the most thankless job.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Like,
oh, tell me.
Yeah.
It's, like, the most thankless, most humiliating job.
The thing is, like, these are things that we already know how to do. Everybody knows how to send an email, pick up a phone, build a relationship with somebody else. These are things that you already know how to do. And so, you know, our thing is that we just need to study harder on how to make that process easier for ourselves. And, you know, sometimes it literally boils down to, like, so right now I'm reading the Checklist Manifesto. Mm-hmm. The whole book is about how surgeons, as the most, we recognize them as the most genius people in society, right? Like, you hear that somebody's a surgeon, and like literally there is a phrase like, oh, it doesn't take a brain surgeon.
You
know, but the thing is like, what is the one thing that causes like the most lawsuits when you come out of surgery is that the surgeon forgot to do something, right? And for us, as intelligent as we are, like maybe the whole thing is that, you know, we're talking about people that, you know, like, you don't need somebody else to help you book a show that's only going to pay you like $20, $50, $100, $150, $200, $500.
Right.
You know, you don't need somebody else to help you with that. That's knowledge that you already have. Just like sewing somebody up without leaving your pair of clamps something that a surgeon should have already known as well. And so if you just treat yourself like an idiot and you put everything on a checklist, then you're much less likely to do idiotic things.
Great reason why we most of the time put everything on a checklist. Jared forgot we were going to Texas this weekend until Tuesday. And it created a problem.
Literally created a problem. And so we were talking about that in the car. Instead of saying like, well, way to go, Jared, you're an idiot because you forgot this. And it's like, all right, well, let's calm down and let's look at the factors that led into me forgetting that we were going to Texas. And it's like, all right, well, we got to add stuff to the calendar, like, so much time ahead of time. So I've even gotten to the point where it's like, when we're packing, I have a checklist that I can pull up on my phone. And then so when we're packing before we leave, and then before we leave any place that we stayed for the night, pull up the checklist. And it's like, do I have my phone charger? Sure. Do I have all the socks that I need for the weekend? Sure. Do I have a belt? Sure. Do I have my wallet, watch, beeper, keys, spectacles?
Jared,
you know what
I
mean.
We get it.
We get beeper.
Yeah, but, exactly.
I like that you're still using a beeper.
My dad used to have that as his mantra before he left the house when I was a little kid.
Okay.
Yeah, wallet, watch, beeper, keys.
I like that you guys got it. Hey, let me ask you a question. Sam, are you the Harry Styles of the band?
Do you say that because of the hair?
Your hair? Yeah.
No, I just think haircuts are for quitters. So,
you're right.
No, I just, I don't know. I've had the same hairstyle basically for like, I don't know how long. It looks good. I'm okay with it. You know, I'm fine with it. So
you guys do tour a lot, and you're about to embark on a little summer jaunt up to Chicago, St. Louis, and New York City.
Yeah, we've got some more dates around there. Those are just like the ones that have been confirmed that we've been given all the information for.
I mean, most of it's confirmed. It's just a matter of those are the ones that we're pretty stoked about.
And those are the only ones on the website.
Years,
so far.
Like, yeah. But it's
It's just cool. Like we've been really.
Piano's is a great place.
We're excited about it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a cool spot.
The thing about us right now is that we have hit every major market in the South like a lot. And while yes, that's cool and it's a really great way to cut your teeth about like being on the road and like that kind of stuff.
Well, it also makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Sam and I being in school until last May and that kind of thing. It's like. We don't really have the ability to go out any more than on weekends. But we, you know, I mean, Sam and I would, there were days where, like, Sam and I would get out of class at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. We would ride our bikes home, get in the car, and, you know, drive to Jackson, drive to Beaumont, drive to Mobile, like, just immediately. It's, I don't know, I'm just really, we've been trying to get out, like, to these major markets like Chicago and New York and things like that a lot more. I mean, we've been able to hit Austin, we've been able to hit Atlanta, you know, bigger
Houston a few times.
Houston, like,
God,
I mean,
I hate Houston.
The whole I-10 route, you know, up and into the you know, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, that kind of stuff. But what it just comes down to is that none of them are really big enough that you're really gonna get anything going. It's the South is really cool, and like I said, it's a great way that we've been able to cut our teeth on this kind of stuff and get this knowledge of how to tour and that kind of stuff. We've never lost money on the road, and granted, a lot of that has to do with us being only out on mostly like 2-day, 3-day jaunts.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, you've hardly lost money on the road, so you know how to not lose money on the road.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
And
part of it is not going out for too long.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
it costs,
you know,
money every day you're off.
Yeah. Right.
Still
yeah,
costs
exactly.
the same as
right.
being on.
So, yeah. You know, so we've only got one day off on this tour that we're doing in July, and it's when we're staying with my godmother in Jersey, so we're, like, not even spending any money.
Yeah.
You know, we're, like, we're just going to hang out with them all day. I think they've got a pool or something in the middle. So it'd be like, cool, we're not doing anything, and we're not spending any money, because we got a day off. That's
but,
great.
I know I just said this a minute ago. It's just, we got to start getting to these bigger markets. And that's why I was really glad that we were able to get an agent, was because what it just comes down to is I can easily book a show all across the South because we just have all these friends.
Right.
From, you know, 3.5, almost 4 years of playing these shows is I can give somebody a call and be like, hey, we need this date. Can you help? And they're like, I'll call you back in 2 days. And in 2 days, they generally have something, at least a hold. Like, they don't, it may not be confirmed, but they, it's just that easy a lot of times for us in the South, and it's not going up to New York when you've never hit these markets. It's like what you said, you know.
Yeah.
They have no idea who you are, and if you're doing it yourself, they just don't care.
Right.
And so
to quote Phil Hartman,
I'm Troy McClure.
No.
That's good.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from films.
So to quote Phil Hartman as Frank Sinatra, Bantam Foxes, never heard of them.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Basically like your first time going to any market, but especially in New York or Chicago, Bantam Foxes, never heard of them.
Yeah.
And
That's fine.
Yeah.
Sure. I got a bunch of friends in Chicago because Colin and I grew up in St. Louis, and so, you know, I got all sorts of friends that were like, I don't want to go far away for school, so I'm just going to go up north where it's a 4-hour bus ride, you know, like.
But no, it's just, I'm really, it's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe.
It's fun, man. Being out there is fun.
Yeah.
Shows are going to be fun, and being in these towns that I've never been to, things like Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah.
see? Shit, man, that place is great.
We're playing Double Happiness up there.
Okay, so people can just go to your band, BantamFoxes.com.
Yeah,
so you find all the tour dates, and you guys are on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on SoundCloud, you got the stuff on the Bandcamp, Instagram.
We're on everything, because that's what people told
New Orleans,
us to do.
Bringing New Orleans rock and roll to the world.
Is
New Orleans at all an influence? Is it a heritage of New Orleans?
I'd like to think so. It probably doesn't show up anywhere in the music. Being there, there's a lot of aspects of that city, which, like, I mean, Jared grew up there. Colin and I have only been there for 5 years.
Orleans is a drummer town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so if it shows up anywhere in our music, it's probably the fact that I grew up there and the, like, being a drummer in New Orleans is so competitive that if you survive as a drummer without giving up into your, like, mid to late 20s, I'm turning 30 this year, that you probably have a pretty good sense of what you're doing.
Because the 12-year-old on buckets outside of Café du Monde is probably better than you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as a drummer, if you aren't constantly improving and figuring out how to maybe make yourself sound like more than one drummer, then any drummer that sounds like he's filling more space than you are is gonna come along and just eat your lunch.
This show in St. Louis, you're playing with my friends Ringo Death Star.
They're on the same agency as us.
Oh, yeah?
I just saw them in New Orleans last week.
And?
God, they rule. They played a bunch of new stuff. I was very stoked.
I'm a huge fan of theirs.
The first time I saw them, out in L.A., because they were playing with Peter Murphy at the El Rey, and that show was the tits.
Is that really the best way you can think of to describe a rock show?
Look, the thing is no one says what kind of tits they're saying. You know,
right?
You
exactly
like that. You know,
it's true.
Grandma's tits.
Oh no!
Oh, you ruined my day, man.
His tits is what I think of when people think of it. I'll be honest with you guys.
But. Anyway, I love that band, and originally we were gonna, our agent was gonna try to get us on a few more dates with them, but they're coming back from North by Northeast at that point, and we're going up. Okay. So it's like, we got the one show, and he put us on it. I think the only reason he was able to really get us on just the one show on the tour was because we grew up in St. Louis, and I'm sure he told the talent buyer, like, yeah, they'll bring a bunch of people. So,
which we will.
We will.
You know,
but
Elliot's a good dude, man.
Yeah,
he's a buddy of mine.
They're all rad.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
You played a show with some other good friends of mine. People have been on the show, I think, like 5 times. Mm-hmm. Boxing Lesson.
That was my first show.
That was actually, that was a weird show.
Go ahead. Okay. You tell us.
All right. Because you haven't talked
I haven't said
Sam.
Much.
You have to answer that weird hairy question.
Yeah, right. Literally, this was our third show. We had played our first show in New Orleans the weekend or two before, and then we were like, oh, we're going to go up to Mississippi for a couple of days, because it was like right after Mardi Gras, and Loyola has the whole week off for Mardi Gras because nobody's going to go to class anyway. And so we were like, all right, yeah. So we booked a couple shows through some friends of ours up in Mississippi, and we were on this weird house show in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and like, I've never been at a house show where music was still going on at 4 a.m.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was really cool, but there was also a certain point where like, dude, this all started at 8. Like, we've been here for a long time, and then it was a cool show. They were really good. They were awesome. Oh, yeah. But
that was the last show ever at that house.
Yeah, that was. That was a weird house show.
And then they paid us out with a jar of coins.
Yeah, we got paid in pennies and dimes.
And
weird.
Somehow we still didn't lose money that weekend. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, no, it was literally, it was like a 2-liter bottle or something like that.
Yeah, they'd been passing around
filled with coins.
Yeah.
And they'd been saving up this coin jar for a while, and it was kind of weird. You know how little kids do that? They're like, I'm sticking all my coins in this jar to like save up for like a video game or something like that. Like they kind of did that for us. Like they had heard about us, and then out comes this coin jar, and they're like, "We hope you don't hope you don't mind." And we're
"Hope you don't mind. I'll pay you in change."
Yeah.
I think Jalen from the boxing lesson is literally the loudest guest. I always have to turn down all the games on all this stuff because she's so loud when she laughs.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really good. They're real good.
They are really good. So you guys have this tour coming up, and you're doing more than just the dates that I mentioned.
Yeah.
The dates that are on your thing.
Yeah.
Columbus is going to be fun, man. That's a great town. What other kind of cities are you hitting?
Indianapolis.
Oh, cool.
Athens, Georgia.
That's... Where are you playing in Athens?
Caledonia Lounge.
Right next to REM.
I don't know if... Well, and that's not confirmed as far as I... Okay. Last I heard, that's not confirmed yet, but that's where we have a hold right now, is what I know.
Well, all people have to do is go to bantamfoxes.com. And you have tour dates up there.
Indeed.
Music is available at different places.
Yep. We're on the Spur Defer.
You're on Spur Defer?
Spur Defer. You know, that kind of stuff. It's on Spotify. It's on
How do you guys, divide up the, like, your Twitter, your Facebook, and your Instagram?
I run most of the social media. I did not get a degree in what these guys did. I got a
noticed you were quiet up. A psychology degree?
Yeah, I got a psychology degree, which is totally pointless and useless.
No, that's great.
No, I mean, it was cool.
I will pay you $50 to let me hang on the couch and tell you some of my problems.
Oh, I wish it was that easy. But no, I was, Yeah, I didn't get the same degree as them, and so I let them do the managing business end, and I'm like, I can post on Twitter. So I run most of the social media and get everything uploaded and whatnot. So
everybody has their role in the band.
Yeah.
You make a lot of lists.
Yeah,
I make a lot of lists.
Lists. Colin smokes and drinks.
I smoke and drink.
And then I do everything else.
That's what I was going to say, is it seems like with all of the stuff that you guys have going on, you look pretty bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for guys that were playing a show last night out on the road.
We survived.
We drank a lot of coffee this morning, too.
Yeah, those ice turbos, man.
I don't drink on the road.
You don't?
Nope.
That's good.
I do. Yeah. I drank a bunch of Lone Star last night, so I'm cool with it.
Somebody's got to remain...
Somebody's got to remain...
The super ego, the ego, and the id here.
Oh, that's good. You bring in his psychological world into your speak.
Sam,
what else? So you guys are going to put out a new group of songs in the fall?
Right, in October. Actually, should be getting mixes for those on, like, Monday.
Sweet.
Yeah, I got to call Ben on the drive home. But we're putting that out in October. And it's 4 more songs that we did last year.
Do you have any plans to come back here anytime soon?
I think we're trying to come back here in the middle of August. We're doing that residency in New Orleans at the Circle Bar every Thursday in August, and Lowen is going to come play one of those shows with us because they have helped us out here twice now.
Yeah.
And so they're going to come play one of those with us, and then I think we're going to do like a little weekend run with them and do like Houston and Austin the next two nights whenever after they come. So I think probably middle of August is when we'll be back. Otherwise probably September.
It won't be long. Our thing about Austin is realize that it's like super... I know there's like 1,000 bands here, but...
We didn't figure out until about a year ago that it's like, we're close enough to Austin that we should be playing it a lot more often than we were.
Yeah.
And your response was good? I'm so sorry I didn't make it.
No, it's fine. We do real well here.
We've only ever really had one kind of bad show here. And it was
a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, yeah. So it was... It's been good. We've played Cheer Ups a few times.
That's a great place.
Blackheart was really cool last night.
We played the Mohawk.
Seems like you guys would do well too with Otis the Destroyer. Taylor,
we did play.
They were at Lowen's. We played at Lowen's album release in April, and dude, Otis was awesome.
That is awesome,
the most
right?
aptly named band I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They played Fame by David Bowie.
Oh my
god, it was so good.
Bowie song. Like, I think they played like 5 years.
They played Suffragette City that night too. It was
really cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, we've been talking about Suffragette City ever since then too.
Hey man,
yeah.
Said leave me alone. We've got this joke. We've got this joke. Jared and I work at a coffee shop together,
but not with them.
But we're annoying assholes, and everybody we work with hates us.
I had to be
really popular at the coffee shop.
The customers like us a lot. Okay. Our coworkers get real annoyed.
How different would the world be if instead of being an artistic British man if David Bowie was just kind of like a classless hick from, like, I don't know, rural Alabama, and Suffragette City would sound more like, "Hey man, I said leave me alone."
I constantly get videos from Sam while I'm at work, and he's also at work, and it's him because he manages the kitchen.
And so I'll be in the back, and I've got this like Snapchat joke going where whatever annoying hipster bullshit song is on the radio, I'll just sing it in with a country twang to it just to piss people off, you know. Hipster goes hick. And so, you know, it's like the best one. The one that I did the other day was that Arctic Monkey song that gets played too many damn times. Do I wanna know if this feeling blows both ways? You know what I mean?
Super country gentry kind of shit.
Yeah, you know, cause it's just like, I'm so bored back
can
here.
People see, can people witness this stuff as fans of yours on Instagram?
If you follow Sam on Snapchat.
We should.
I should do that.
Sam keeps saying I don't like the video feature.
I really, the problem was
that is ripe for that video feature.
That's amazing.
That's the problem. I do not like Instagram's video feature. It does not work very well.
Just get over it.
I should probably just buy the bullet and deal with it.
You just gotta get over it.
Deal with it. Yeah, because I don't think Vine's gonna really...
I think Vine's on the app.
Vine is just a lot of comedians, and they end up just getting put on Instagram anyway.
Yeah.
Instagram... Yeah. If Instagram hadn't instituted video, Vine would be huge. But Instagram instituted video because Vine, and so now there's
But it's one of those things like you're not going to be able to change the video feature, so you might as well just get over it and use it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Is there anything I'm missing before you guys take off to New Orleans? It's really nice to meet you guys.
Thank you for having us.
I don't know why I liked you guys so much and wanted you to do this.
Nobody ever really knows why they like us because a lot of people don't like us. But
really? I like you as people. I like you as people, and I like your music a lot.
Thanks, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks. We'll pass it on. You know, that's what it's like.
I definitely will.
We are.
I'm just glad that we met your expectation of being as personable as we were. Enticing as far as the music.
Yeah,
because a lot of people there's a ton of people I know who's
whatever you're gonna say.
No, I'm not gonna say.
I'm stopping
you
now. You're gonna say something stupid.
That's right. Real quick, that's what we instituted a rule a long time ago. The reason I'm usually very quiet in interviews
is stupid things.
Well, no, sort of. We instituted a rule after our first or second interview on WTUL in New Orleans, and Colin, we walk out of there, and Colin just looks at me. He's like, "You're not allowed to talk at interviews anymore."
It's not that you're not allowed to talk. We just instituted a rule from the get go. You don't trash talk other bands, and
I wasn't gonna trash talk any other band.
I was gonna say something, and I knew I don't know what you were gonna say. It wasn't gonna go well.
Whatever.
A twin question.
Yeah,
sure.
If you guys aren't together and you're working at your coffee shop, mm-hmm. you're working at yours,
mm-hmm.
you're steaming the milk, and some mm-hmm. shit flies out and burns your hand. Do you feel it?
You know, sometimes I get a real phantom burning on my hand. It's
really
it is strange.
Yeah, one time I Yeah,
it's one of those things.
I had this weird rash show up on my arm one time. I had no idea where it came from. And I found out, he rubs some poison ivy. You know what I mean?
One of my best friends is going to have twins in November.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
And he listens to the show. And he actually just sent me a text yesterday that he had bought a twin stroller.
Nice.
So he's ready for the attack. They're doing two different cribs. I thought there was twin cribs. I was like, why are you going to
come
apart then? That's not nice.
Great. You want to tell this story real quick?
Tell
them.
What story is it?
How our parents didn't know that they were having
twins? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so my parents didn't know they were having twins until we were born. Literally.
Wow.
Yeah, I showed up, and then they were like, oh, shit, there's another one in there.
They said there was going to be one.
You were born in the 60s or something.
Right, exactly. So,
Just think about how much technology has progressed since 1992.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right.
But still. It doesn't seem like it's that long ago, but that's a long time ago.
23 years ago.
Yeah,
They had told my parents there was going to be one 10-pound baby, and they got two. Geez. Not 10-pound babies. But my dad passed out, that sort of thing. That's what I was going to say, is luckily, your friend knows there's two of them. My parents had bought one of everything.
Dude, what if there's four of them?
Whoa!
If I told his wife that, she would, they went from zero to two. That's a lot. I have friends that were trying for a long time, and they started taking these things, and all of a sudden they had three.
Right.
Yeah.
There's more of them than there are of parents.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, that is.
And they have their own language,
problem.
Always have, and they point and laugh at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, did you know that, so at the coffee shop, we have like a lot of doctors and lawyers and such that are regulars. And there's this one lawyer, you know, Seth, that's, he's a triplet. And so one of his brothers came in. And his brother, one of his brothers is an EMT, and the other one is a doctor. And all three of them came into the shop on the same day because the other two brothers were coming to visit the Seth lawyer that we know. Right, right. And so Seth, the lawyer, comes down in the morning, and then, like, the middle of the day, the EMT comes through, and then in the afternoon, the doctor comes through, and I'm like, is this some kind of weird, sick joke? That
it sounds
you,
like a really bad setup for a joke.
I know. Yeah, it was really weird. I'm like, do you just keep, like, changing your clothes and then coming through? And then, like, you know, I kept asking them all if they wanted the drink that their brother, who I know, gets. Because they're like, not only are they, like very strikingly similar, but it's the same body type and the same voice and everything. So that's it weird. Just looked like this one dude kept changing his costume and coming through, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, so I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Are you guys, this is a long drive back. You're going to listen to some AC/DC, or you're done with AC/DC?
We'll probably put it on at some point.
Yeah.
I'll give you my CDs. That was weird. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sounds great.
We'll listen to anything.
Yeah, man. We get like, I'm seriously, we're kind of, no, that's like, seriously though, we're kind of at a point where we're like, we're kind of at a point where like, like yesterday we were just like, I was trying to find NPR for like an hour and it didn't happen.
Well, there's a whole stretch of Louisiana where there's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Baton Rouge and Lafayette have, like, NPR affiliates, but the signals are so much weaker, so you pretty much only have it for the 20 minutes you're through there.
Right.
New Orleans, once you get past the spillway, you're done.
Yeah.
Houston, luckily, starting really right outside of Beaumont, we got some NPR, and yeah, then for about another hour after Houston, so yeah, we were good on that.
You know, but yeah, we, you know, I'm kind of at a point where, like,
you can only listen to so much on the,
yeah, road. And, you know, and the car's kind of loud because we're pulling the trailer and whatnot, and so it's,
yeah,
like,
you just want to hear somebody's voice reading stuff to you.
Yeah, yeah, he just listens to audiobooks. He puts his headphones in and do that. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I've got this Spotify machine, so I usually...
Nice.
Yeah. But
is,
yeah,
there anything, you know, I'm missing?
Your fly?
You people can go to bantamfoxes.com.
Yeah.
Yes.
They can also go find you on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Instagram, and apparently you can find Sam on the Snapchat.
Yeah, yeah, I don't understand the, like, organizations having Snapchat thing. I need to figure that out. so, like, no, seriously, because, like, you know, I know, like, a bunch of, like...
Just change your personal account name.
I can do that.
Do what you did on Instagram. Change,
yeah,
your,
yeah,
personal,
there you,
account.
Go. Give it, that'll, up, work. But
there's a bunch of pictures of, like, our cat, like, about 2 years ago on Sam's Instagram, because, or on the band Instagram, because it was Sam's account.
Yeah. And I just changed the account name.
Gave Jared access.
Yeah, well, because I'm like, I've already got a ton of followers. I don't want to deal with having to set up a separate account. Let's just change the name.
A band should have a mascot.
Yeah.
An,
oh,
animal,
yeah,
mascot, a spirit animal.
Well, we have two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We've got
a 19-year-old dog.
Whoa. Yeah, dude. She's like,
she's old.
It's terrible. But like, we'll come home from work every day, and I'm just like, man, Jenny's gonna be dead today.
Oh, like, I'm gonna walk in this house, yeah, and Jenny's not gonna be alive.
But she's still there.
I wake up,
she's,
all the time, and she's just like,
talking to a dude that has a painting of his dogs.
Hey, man, no, I
appreciate
Jared's
got a painting of his.
Oh, yeah, no, I do. Yeah, it's a very stoic looking painting. It's very,
yeah,
regal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just walk up to her. Like, whenever I wake up, I just walk up, and she's got this blank stare on her face. I'm like, Jenny, dog, are you dead? And then, like, I put my hand on her, and then she's just like
twitches a little bit,
yeah, and comes back to life.
Yeah.
It's like raising Lazarus every morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you got great analogies, Jared.
Yeah, he's well spoken.
Jared's a
Sam,
smart man.
Yes.
Colin, Jared, thank you guys so much for coming by.
Thank you, Johnny.
And,
this is a lot of
everyone
fun
out there, be sure you get out there and find out Bantam Foxes. Find them at bantamfoxes.com and on all the social media. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bantam Foxes. Don't forget, you can find them at bantamfoxes.com. They have lots of releases that you can find on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, iTunes, Spotify, the whole shebang. Like their Facebook page, follow them on Twitter and on Instagram. They are a great band from New Orleans, Louisiana, and they will be on tour in July. So go to bantamfoxes.com and look them up, see if they're coming to a town near you, okay? Louisiana's rock and roll treasure, Bantam Foxes. All right, while you're out there checking out Bantam Foxes, don't forget that you can like our Facebook page and you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. I am at Johnny Gowdy on both of those. Like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Also, hey man, if you live in Houston, come on out and see Skyrocket Friday night. This Friday at the Astoria, we're doing a special show, special public show. We've never played at this place before. It's a beautiful location, and our friend Lisa Porter is putting it on. It should be a lot of fun. If you're in Houston, I'll post a thing on our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here Facebook page. If you live in Houston, you want to see the Skyrocket, get into this thing. So, anyway, let's hear some more music from Bantam Foxes. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank those guys for coming by. We enjoyed some great breakfast tacos, and we enjoyed each other's company. Great band, Bantam Foxes. Great guys. Hope you guys have a great tour, and I hope that all of you listening are having a great week. All right? Have a great week. Let's get down.